Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Provident Money Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Isaac, Client Advisor at Provident. Today's episode is the second chapter of our mini-series titled The Story of Our Client's Wealth Journey. In our previous episode, we talked about who our clients typically are, their concerns, and their need for a trusted advisor. To them, finding an advisor is easy, but finding an advisor that they can trust, who would guide them to make the best decisions, best wealth decisions for themselves, is difficult. Even though the role that wealth advisors play is arguably as important as other professional services, such as of those of the legal or medical field, there's significantly less trust in the financial advisory space. In this episode, we will explore why this is so. Joining me today is Evelyn Goh, Deputy CEO and Chief Advisory Officer here at Provident. Hi Evelyn, great to have you here today.
Thank you for having me.
So Evelyn, from your experience being in the industry for more than 2 decades, what are some common issues that our clients face when searching for a trusted advisor?
I think first and foremost, we want to recognize that, you know, money is a very personal topic. So not many of us are actually comfortable discussing our personal finances with other people. So when we take that step of getting someone to plan for us, ideally we want someone who is able to do it comprehensively so that I don't have to go to different places, right? Yep. So I would say, yeah, one of the challenge will be finding an advisor who is able to advise you comprehensively, because actually wealth advisory spans over many different aspects, yep, right? And to be able to have that expertise, you know, and a competency to guide you in all these different aspects is another challenge. So we have comprehensiveness, the challenge of comprehensiveness, the challenge of competency. And then, of course, when I look for an advisor, I want to ensure that, hey, this advisor will be around for a long time, right? Because I think I'll be around for a long time and my financial plan should be like that as well. And therefore, that concern of, like, you know, will this individual be around? Okay, but if the individual cannot be around for or at least there is no guarantee that he will outlive me and all that, then I look for a firm. But looking for a firm, there's that concern of, like, okay, consistency of advice, okay, across the different advisors there. And you mentioned about trusted advisor, okay? So that thing is the concern of whatever that's recommended to me, is it, for my best interest, or is it because of the amount of money that the advisor can earn through the product that they introduce? So one big challenge is the conflict of interest. So to summarize, in terms of, like, the challenges, that is very real. You can remember in 4 C's, Singaporeans like C's, right? Yeah. Right? So you have that 4 C's of conflict of interest, comprehensiveness, competency, consistency, and continuity of advice.
Right, thanks Evelyn. So let's dive deeper into these 4 points that you have raised. As you know, most advisors in Singapore is still operating on a commission-based model. Mm. So to all our listeners, you can refer to Season 3, Episode 3 of this podcast for more information on how advisors are compensated in Singapore. So how does this model typically lead to conflict of interest?
Well, I mean, if you talk about compensation, it's always conflict of interest is always a very sensitive topic. So yeah. I think first things first, we just want to, you know, emphasize that we are not saying that all commissions taking advisors are bad. You know, I'm sure there are commissions taking advisors out there who sincerely and truly want to do what's best for the clients. But having said that, we can't run away from the fact that compensation drives behavior, right? How I'm paid does actually, in a way, influence how I conduct my work. So if today, how much I can bring back home every month is actually directly influenced or related to the number or the type of products that I sell, I'm sure that it will present a certain level of conflict of interest. And it doesn't help that, the bulk of the financial products in Singapore actually pay huge commissions. And oftentimes, clients do need to implement certain financial products as part of their solutions. So I think that would be a concern. And even if the advisor is very sincere, very competent, I think you can't stop the client from having that bugging question, right,
at the back of their mind. The temptation is always there.
Yeah, and then that worry or that concern of a client is this product recommended because it works for me, most suitable for me, or is it because it pays a big commission?
Right, so in the back of the client's mind, there's always reservations whether the recommendation that is given to them is in their best interest or not.
Yeah, I think in big ways or small ways, I'm sure that there is a certain tint of that, right? Mm. Yeah, I mean, as a consumer, we always want to ask ourselves, is this the best for us? Mm. Especially, when wealth advisory, financial planning is actually a very big thing.
Right. So let's talk about comprehensiveness of a wealth plan. So in your opinion, when we say comprehensiveness of a wealth plan, comprehensive wealth plan, how should it look like? What is a comprehensive wealth plan?
Well, I think if we want to talk about comprehensive wealth plan, it has to cover the different aspects, okay, of wealth planning, which is in the area of protection, in the area of accumulation or drawdown, depending on which phase of life the client is in, and end-of-life issues, because you have to ensure that your wealth can be transferred and preserved and, distributed to your intended beneficiaries. But that's just the different pillars, right? To ensure that it's a solid wealth plan, you want to ensure that it really meets the needs of the client, right? So I know that's a lot. Stuff, in one sentence. So allow me to unpack the different elements of it. I think to have a good wealth plan, the foundation must be from that standpoint of what is it that is important to the client? What does the living the best life look like to the client? So it involves taking time to sit down, to ask good questions, to really find out from the client what's their concerns, what's their needs, and then from there understand what is their cash flow requirements to support them to live their best life, not just now, but also many years down the road. Yeah, and there are life risks that we cannot control, such as premature death, disability, or a major illness that can derail a plan, right? Derail a client's plan. So then that's where you need to look into the protection part of things to actually look into, analyzing what are the gaps, okay? And oftentimes it requires insurance products. Then the other part is about the accumulation, right? We all have needs, right? But we have limited resources, right? So then there is that implications. Two implications is that, right, I want to keep my expenses as low as I can, right? And one expense is in the area of, just now we talked about protection, right? Insurance premiums, right? So ideally, we should keep the protection expenses as low as possible. So being able to plan comprehensively allows us to look at,
the different trade-offs.
Yes, that's right. So it's like maybe instead of multiple policies, you can look at maybe one or two policies, because in insurance, there's this thing called large sum assured, right? Mm-hmm. So you can cover multiple needs with one or two policies. The type of policies will also affect your premiums. So choosing to use term policies versus whole life plans, okay, will allow us to keep the expenses low, so that you can have more resources, right, to go towards accumulation. Yeah, and then as we continue on the accumulation plans, everyone would have life events that they need to plan for, they need to provide for. And because of limited resources, okay, it means that the other implication is that it means that we have to invest. Most of us will need to invest to make our monies work harder. But there are so many different ways of investing. How do I know what's the best way? Does it mean that I need to maximize my returns? But maximizing returns means it comes with a lot of risk, right? Then that comes back to what are we investing for, all right? So what are the life events that we are talking about? We are talking about our own retirement, providing for our kids' tertiary education. And these are events where you know, when the time calls for it, I prefer that the money is there, right? So that means a key criteria is I like the investment strategy to give me a high certainty that over time I'll get enough returns. And it is investing in a way that I'll be comfortable staying invested. Yeah. Right. So these are the various things that you need to consider in the area of accumulation, investing. And the other part of things of comprehensive plan is that life is transient. Okay. My boss always like to say we don't have a contract with God. So what that means is we don't know when we'll die. We don't know whether we'll lose mental capacity. And therefore, a comprehensive wealth plan would also require us to look into end-of-life matters, such as getting our will done, CPF nominations, lasting power attorney, advanced care planning, so on and so forth. Okay. And on a related note, because life is not static, right? Things happen, things change, life happens. Okay. And therefore, no wealth plan is cast in stone, right? So even after a very good, excellent wealth plan is being drawn up, okay, there is still a need to for regular review. Okay, sit down with the client to see what has changed in their life, situations has changed, their desires have changed, and then we need to make changes as and when necessary. When there are major market turbulence, right, the advisor needs to be there to guide the client, to assure the client so that we don't make emotional decisions that will negatively impact our financial plan.
Hi listeners, thank you so much for your ongoing support. Some long-time listeners might know that the inspiration behind this entire podcast was our CEO Chris's book titled Money Wisdom, Simple Truths for Financial Wellness. If you're interested in getting your own signed copy, please check out the link in the show notes for more information. Thank you, and let's get back to the episode. Right, so yeah, that's a very good point that you raised, because every time when we talk about a comprehensive wealth plan, people might think that, oh, it's this plan, we plan in a way that that this plan will never fail, right? But actually, we acknowledge that, you know, sometimes life can throw us some curveballs that we don't expect. So the part that you raised on having a regular review is really very important.
Yeah.
Right, so thanks Evelyn for the detailed answer. It's not an easy answer to it's not an easy question because, you know, or what is a comprehensive wealth plan? Essentially, you have to list down a lot of things that we do for our clients. So some of our clients share that you know, it's very difficult to find a competent advisor that can do up this comprehensive wealth plan for them. Which ties into another point that you brought up earlier about competency. So why do you think this is so?
I think first and foremost, you know, just now when we talk about the comprehensive wealth plan, there is like so many different areas. So actually, if you think about it, it's like there is a wide range of expertise that's needed, covering from protection to investments, you know, to estate planning, legacy planning. And I think it's impossible for a single advisor to be able to, you know all of this and still have time to prospect for business, advise clients, you know, manage the client relationship on an ongoing basis. So to be fair, I think it's not a job of a single advisor, but an entire team of different specialists working together to support the advisor. And another point is also, you know, that if you look at the type of work that is required, right, that goes into advising, ensuring a comprehensive wealth plan, you know, ongoing advice and all that, it's a lot of work. And part of the work involved, you know, such as taking time to really ask good questions to find out what's important to a client, what living a good life looks like, even the estate planning, the end of life planning part of things, actually does not you know, end up with implementation of maybe financial instruments. So depending on the revenue model, the compensation model of the advisor, it might not make economic sense to spend so much time dwelling on this.
Yeah, I mean, just insurance alone, there's so many changes every year.
Yes.
Right? In terms of investments, there's many instruments that become available. in Singapore. Just one example. You know, so I think, you know, having specialists within all these different segments is a lot better, because like you mentioned, it's virtually impossible for one person to be an expert on everything, and not only just be an expert in everything, but to be kept up to date with all the changes.
Exactly.
Yeah, and at the same time, you know, like you mentioned, having to still, you know, generate new business, get more leads, you know, and prospect for new clients.
Yeah, and we are not working 24/7, right?
Yeah.
We also have our own family, we also have our own, you know, life to live. Yeah, so yeah, it's just not possible.
So, lastly, let's talk about consistency of advice. So, why is consistency of advice so important?
I think before we go into answering this question of consistency, I think it's important to actually ask that question of what's the guiding principles of the advisor in the way he analyze, you know, in him coming out with the recommendation. So in other words, what's the basis of his analysis and his recommendations? As an example, we have all heard about the phrase buy term, invest the rest.
Mm.
But have we understand why is it so? What is the thought process? What's the philosophy behind it? If today I go and see a doctor and doctor tell me that, oh, you have this and this condition, I'm sure he didn't just kind of like look at me one look and then it's like he somehow got the diagnosis. Usually it's because he has sent me to do some test, right? Some examinations, and the outcome of it shows that, hey, that is, you know, it is to conclude that there is a condition. So medical science has, in a medical field, that is established medical principles, right? And likewise, when he prescribed a treatment, right, there's always a basis. So in a similar vein, for wealth advisory, it's very important to have philosophies, to have guiding principles, okay? Because that's the way in which we ensure that, you know, there is a proper thought process, right? There is the proper guidance in terms of how analysis is done, how recommendations are done, and clients will then have that peace of mind, right? Okay, that his wealth plan is well thought out, okay, the analysis is very robust, okay, and the recommendations is very sound, right? So that leads us nicely then to this question of consistency, because if a firm has a consistent approach to providing wealth advisory, then the client knows that, hey, if I present the same set of information to two different advisors in the same firm, they can be assured that the analysis, the recommendations will be the same. And why is that important? Just now we talked about, you know, that concern that, hey, my advisor may not outlive me. Because it's true, right? Because the advisor may retire at some point, will retire at some point, or cannot continue working because of a health condition.
Yeah, and in this industry, a lot of people, you know, the turnover is quite high. Yeah.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, definitely true. So that's where, you know, when if the firm has a consistent approach to providing advice, then the client will have the assurance that the advisor, the new advisor, the lead advisor who is taking over, who has been assigned to take over, will have no problem transiting, because the way advice is being done, okay, is actually consistent within the firm. So right, that provides continuity of advice. That's why to me, consistency and continuity actually is interlinked.
Right, so if the new advisor takes over, he will understand the plan, you know, because in terms of methodology, planning assumptions, you know, it's something that is consistent within the firm.
Yeah, imagine if it's not consistent, then what? Have to redo the whole thing. The client has to go through the whole exercise, right? And then it's a major overhaul, like, essentially.
Yeah, and if you have different planning numbers, for example, you know, in terms of your asset allocation, your resource allocation, everything will have to change.
Yeah, all one. So I think the client will be like, also, eh, what's the difference? How come so different? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So thanks for sharing, Evelyn. So given the prevalence of the issues that we have discussed, how has the financial advisory industry in Singapore not only managed to survive, but thrive despite all this?
Okay, that's a very good question. But one that is, I think, very tough to answer. I think it's been oftentimes said, right, that financial products are sold and not bought. Actually, how many of us, as we think back on the very first insurance policies, that we have, we actually did research. We actually go Google, look at, you know, what should I be looking out for, what kind of plan is suitable, how do I assess my needs. I think it's more like someone we know come and approach us, whether it's a friend, a relative, you know, come and approach us, and then we were sold a product. So unfortunately, you know, despite things that the regulators try to introduce, industry reviews and all that over the past 2 decades, the industry, the financial industry in Singapore is still very much still sales driven. And it and I think generally consumers are still not aware or they do not know what good advice looks like. This is despite regulators, you know, spending a lot of time and effort trying to improve the level of financial literacy. And of course, over the past decade especially, we saw the proliferation of a lot of financial bloggers. Mm. But I think we can all agree that the vast majority of consumers still do not know that it is important, right, to seek out advisors that address the challenges of conflict of interest, you know, looking out for whether they are able to do a comprehensive advice, whether they are competent enough to do it, and whether the way advice is being delivered is consistent and have continuity. Yeah. And it doesn't help that with social media and all that, everybody's marketing themselves as very competent, as you know, being able to do a very comprehensive job. But we all know that the test of the pudding is in the eating. Yeah. And unfortunately, a lot of people still think of financial advisors as product peddlers, just selling a product. And that reminds me of an encounter I had when Provident first started. So I was having this exploratory session with a couple. And I noticed that, you know, the husband looks very guarded because his body language is such that, yeah, defensive. He's like, his arms are folded and, you know, he got this face that he's like quite critical. Yeah, but anyway, I just do my part in sharing about, you know, what Provident does, our services, but more importantly, why we do what we do. How we are compensated, how, you know, we address this big elephant in the room of conflict of interest by not taking any commissions at all, that we are fee only, we only charge a fee, our client is our only paymaster. And as I share that, I can observe that his gut just come down, and he then shared with me that he insisted in coming along when he heard that the wife is meeting a financial advisor. I mean, of course, 25 years ago, you know, we call ourselves financial advisors, right? So when he heard that the wife is meeting a financial advisor, he insisted that he'll come along because he don't want the wife to be sold insurance policies. But after hearing what we do at Provident, he's perfectly happy to engage us. In fact, he's so sold on our course that his main concern actually is whether we'll survive. Yeah. So one of our events, he actually raised his hand during Q&A, you know, and he asked us what is our vision, what is our growth plan for the next 5, 10, 15 years. But I'm very happy to say that Provident is doing well as a firm. And this couple has been a happy client for more than 20 years now.
Yeah, thanks for sharing the story. It's very heartening to hear. You know, I mean, there have been many people that come in, you know, sometimes they are a bit skeptical, but, you know, after going through our process, you know, they feel like they are not skeptical, they become advocates as well. Yeah. Okay, so I hope that through this episode, people will really come to realize the core problems with this industry and in turn know how to be aware of, you know, how to get good advice. If all these problems are mitigated, consumers will have an easier time finding a trusted advisor. And so hopefully the industry in Singapore, the landscape would really change, and, you know, people in Singapore can get better advice.
Mm.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Evelyn, for your time today and really taking the time to share your insights on the financial advisory industry.
You're most welcome.
Yeah, so to all our listeners, now that you know how the financial advisory industry is, In the next episode, we will talk about how you can find a guide that will guide you through the minefield of misinformation so that you can achieve a life that truly matters to you. It will be a very interesting episode, so don't forget to follow and subscribe if you haven't done so already. So with that, once again, thank you, Evelyn, for the time today. And to all our listeners, we'll see you in the next episode.
All analysis, views, opinions from interviews, recommendations, and other information broadcasted, podcasted, or published herein are provided for general information purposes only. Information expressed does not take into account any specific situation, particular needs, or objectives, and should not be construed as specific advice or recommendation. Information has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal or tax professional before taking any action. Provident Limited does not accept any liability or any loss whatsoever arising from any use of the information broadcasted, or published herein. All contents and information contained herein may not be copied or reproduced in whole or in part by any means without prior written consent of Provident Limited.